Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And you can't see me. I'm not in the camera. I'm like way, where am I? I'm far, far away from the camera. Anyway, tonight my show is going to be with Garrison Red of the Garrison Red Project. And Garrison is like an internet or Instagram. I'm just going to call you an Instagram sensation. Everybody watches you. You know, I might as well just like be real about it. And so tonight we're going to be talking to him. But first, I want to talk about my week. All right. Well, I can't, can we move over a bit so I can see myself in the camera? You know, I like to see myself.
Okay.
I'm all over the place. Right? Maybe we should turn it a little bit. Yeah, like that.
There you go.
Oh, I'm kind of halfway cut off. But anyway, I'll come over this way. So my week has been very, not stressful, but I've been working out really hard, and I worked out hard on Friday with Garrison, and you'll find out why it was hard later on. And I've been changing my diets. I've been eating a lot of greens, a lot of vegetables, a lot of salad, you know, protein. I'm cutting my eating off at 7 o'clock because I'm really committed to reducing my diabetes. I don't know if many of you know, but I was diagnosed with diabetes almost 3 years ago. And, you know, when you get diagnosed with something, you sort of go the whole hog and you like, you do all the work and you're like, you're rah rah about it. And then as soon as you get some really good results, well, this is me. As soon as I got really good results and my blood sugars went from 10 to like 6.5, I jumped off the horse. Right. Well, actually, truthfully, I didn't like how thin I was. I really didn't like it. Like, I'm a big, robust woman, and I like to have my stature to be robust. I was very thin when I was younger. And so I had it, my butt is like nice and big. And then what happened was it got really small, and I didn't like, well, compared to some people, it got really small and I didn't like it. But what happens is fat and diabetes doesn't go together. So I'm back on the mission to reduce the weight and get that in check. But what I've decided is that, like, I am not taking metformin. I'm going to do it all with diet and exercise. And it is doable. And I was, you know, been doing a lot of research, and I just found out that, like, the Diabetes Association and, you know, like, all these organizations, I don't know if they're really for us. I mean, like, I don't know what their mission is about, because I've been looking at some of the diets that they've been saying for me to eat, and it has a lot of bread and a lot of carbs in it. And bread and carbs spike insulin, which, you know, increases my sugar. So I just have to sort of find alternative methods to sort of manage myself and manage my diet. But anyway, that's what I've been up to this week, is like really retraining myself, my mind, my body, to take care of myself in a way that, you know, the medical institutions are there to help us to maintain or manage health. They're not, I don't feel that they're actually here interested in us being well. So just not interested in taking all these pills. Every time I go, it's another pill. Not interested. Just not interested. If I should die, then I just die. But I'm going to do the best that I can do. Do you hear me?
Like, yeah,
Let me say this. I'm going to die if I keep on taking all these medications, right? Because after a while, your liver can't manage it, your kidneys can't manage it, and most people die of, like, the medications, right?
Yeah.
And so if I have to change my diet and change my lifestyle, then I'll do that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's smart.
As opposed to, like, be pumping myself up with drugs, like, every time I shake, like, the pills are rattling around. I'm not doing it. Right, so whatever it takes for me to get myself in shape is what I'm going to do, you know, and it takes consistency, and that's something that I have to learn, right?
Yeah.
It's something that I have to put into practice, and it's not going to be easy.
No days off, though.
Right,
that's
it's not
going to
be easy.
No, I mean, I know it's not easy.
It's not easy, but, you know, I'm going to do it. It's like today, you know, I was eating cherries, right? Not today, but I've been eating cherries. Every time I go out, I steal a cherry or two or buy some cherries. But today, I looked at the cherry and I said, no. because that one cherry literally spikes my insulin.
Oh, yeah, you can do it.
So, you know, fruit, I love fruit, but I'm going to have to find fruits that don't spike it.
Yeah.
Anyway, less of me and more of the show. So tonight, like I said, I have Garrison Red. If you haven't seen him on Instagram, then I don't know what you've been doing, but he is all over Instagram. So Garrison Red is the founder of the Garrison Red Project.
Yep.
And he's going to tell you more about that. I'm just going to go straight into the show and introduce, have Garrison introduce himself. So Garrison, introduce yourself.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Garrison Red. I'm the founder of the Garrison Red Project. I'm also here with Garfield Williams. It's my cousin.
Well, it's more like your brother, right?
Yeah, it's more like my brother. We're like brothers.
Right.
And we're here today to tell you about our organization and how we're trying to improve the quality of life for everyone in this world.
And also, Garrison's going to share with us his story, because your story is like the kind of stories that we hear about, we read about. You know, young man gets hit by a random bullet, or young man dies from a random bullet, or something like that. Your situation is that you got hit. What, how many years ago? 17 years ago?
Yeah, I was 17, so when I was 13 years ago.
Right, so 13 years ago, Garrison got hit by a stray bullet in your community. You want to say somewhere?
Yeah, across the street from my house.
Right.
I was outside on a random summer night, and some guy came up and started shooting at everybody that was on the steps.
Right.
Yeah, so when
so
he started shooting.
So he was literally shooting at people at the steps. Was he mad?
That's how life is back in the day growing up in Brownsville, Brooklyn.
Right. So he's from Brownsville, Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, that part of Brooklyn. And growing up in those communities like the South Bronx, certain places in Harlem, 10 years ago, it was like rough.
Right.
I mean, like, you heard about that kid Junior recently cut up with the machete. That was like every day.
Right.
Stuff like that occurs. It's just that people don't bring attention to it because it's not glamorized on the news.
Right.
Like, if the kid didn't die in a horrific manner.
Or is it more like if it didn't happen in a neighborhood that was affluent, or a neighborhood that was not black, or something like that.
Yeah.
If it happened in Midtown Manhattan, that would be a whole different...
That's a different story.
Right. So
yeah.
So they would hit the news.
It's a crisis.
Right.
But in those areas, it's... okay, swept under the rug, and you go to the hospital, and from the hospital you go back home, and you just back in the community again.
Right.
And it's like a cycle there.
Right. So here you are, you're what, 13?
I'm 17
17 at the time, and you get hit by this bullet. Did you know you were hit?
I knew.
And it's not like TV.
It's nothing like TV. It's not, you don't get no girls, no piano playing. None of that. Like, it's nothing.
There's
like...
There's no soundtrack.
No soundtrack, none of that. It's hot. It's 100, your body is like, it's a heat that you can't imagine. Like, if you feel like you're in an oven.
Right, I feel like I'm in an oven right now, but...
No, it's hotter than that. Okay. If you think this is an oven, it's like 10 times hotter than that. But,
So this was in... Where did the bullet go?
Right above my hip. And it passed through my body, and it was lodged under my armpit.
So it was like, it went diagonally.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so what did it sear on the way?
It burnt like some of the nerves around my spinal cord.
Oh, so on the way back, went on the way up.
Yeah, on the way, when it was passing through my body, it passed obviously through my spine, passed by my spine because that's in the center of your body.
Right.
So when it passed by, it burnt some of the nerves like surrounding it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so were you unconscious?
I was completely conscious through the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, I was completely conscious through the whole thing. I didn't panic or anything like that. I mean, because you always hear if you panic with certain things, like, that's what causes you to lose your life or whatever panic. So you try not to panic.
Right.
But, it goes in you and you feel it. It's hot.
So how many months? I just want to give people a general idea of what, took place. So how long were you in the hospital?
I was in the rehab hospital for about a year. It was like almost 11 and a half months. Yeah.
Right. So in the rehab hospital, what did you have to learn to do?
basically everything. Like, you just have to learn a lot of the new things, because, like, which one thing with a back injury, like, you can't really do much for the, like, immediately after.
Right.
Because they want to make sure all, like, the fractures and stuff stay in place.
Right.
Because you could damage your spine even more.
Right.
If, you know, you move around. Thank God it didn't hit my spine, but, like, I had still bones, like, surrounding the area.
Right.
That was fractured and injured. So, with that said, I had to wear, like, a back brace for, like 2.5-3 months. And then your just body just changed, because now you have a foreign object in your body as well.
What was the bullet?
Yeah, the bullet was still in me. Mm-hmm. I got the bullet taken out, like, 2 years after the incident occurred.
Right.
But the bullet's in, so that's, like, just changed the dynamics of your body as well. You got a piece of lead in your body, so, you know, in the beginning, you could experience different, like, issues such as, like, fevers.
Right.
And just imbalances with your body as well. And then, you know, after the injury, certain things you got to recoup, because you're not standing on your feet as much. Right. No more. So your circulation changes.
Right.
And things of that nature changes, where with that said, when that changes, like, you got to learn how to live your life.
Right.
In a different way and in different form.
Right.
So a lot of things you take for granted, like your sitting balance, like, you know, ordinarily when you sit down, nobody takes for, like, the muscles that's working. You right. just sit down on a chair, you thinking your back muscles, your glute muscles, they automatically engage. Right. But when you had an injury such as the one I did, a spinal cord injury, a lot of those muscles disappear.
Right.
And atrophy. So right. They become a lot weaker than the average person. So right. You got to learn how to sit and stuff like that. Just a lot of things over.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty deep. I'm what can I say? That is, yeah.
Yeah, but see, if you think about it, though, like...
But life is really critical,
it could
right?
get, yeah, so the harder, the more you accomplish in regards to adversity...
Right.
The further you could go.
Right.
The more you, with, you know, adversity. So you want to have an adverse situation early in your life, because once you get over that, then in your mind, you could accomplish anything.
Right.
And that's how my mind is set up, like, everything I could accomplish... Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo! What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight we're speaking with Garrison Redd from the Garrison Red Project.
Yep.
So welcome to the show and introduce your cousin.
Yeah, and this is the assistant director, Garfield Williams.
Garfield is like the ninja. He's like the man in the background. You never really see him. And but you know, well, I knew he was there. I know he's there, but I didn't know he was there until Friday. I really had it that you were doing everything on your own.
Oh no. Everybody knows he's always with me.
Okay, like, so you wanna say hi to your peeps?
How you doing, everybody? Yeah, I've been with him since
He was babies, you know?
So what was it like for you when, you know, you heard about his injury, or were you with him that day?
No, I wasn't with him. When I heard about it, I was actually at football practice. Mm-hmm. I was like 14 playing football, and I heard about it then. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm not really like an emotional person like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I felt the way, but like, I didn't cry or anything. I just wanted to, you know what I mean?
Make sure
see how
he
was good.
Right.
And
yeah.
I visited him, and everything was all right.
Yeah.
And what was even cool, I ended up going to, like, my freshman year in high school. It's the same high school he'd been to.
Yeah.
So we ended up having the same friends. So I'm cool with all the seniors as a freshman.
Right.
Mostly at the whole school because of him.
Yeah.
Like, because of me and him. So, like, some of our friends, we would leave from, like, school or whatever, and we would visit him at the hospital.
So you had a community.
Yeah,
you have a community of people around you.
Yeah, no, well, not
people
a community.
Like this guy.
Yeah,
for his whole life,
yeah.
People like, this is the guy to be around.
Yeah,
fun guy.
I mean, I'm a good person. I just, you know, I always been a good person and spread positivity and good vibes. Like, I don't really have a problem with, like, meeting friends and stuff like that. Like, people sometimes is, like, socially awkward. I'm like
social butterfly.
Yeah, I'm not really like that. Like, everybody is cool to me. Everybody starts off on a good foot with me.
Cool. Well, they do, right?
Yeah.
You know what's so fascinating about meeting you and having this conversation is that it seems, you know, when with my shows, it feels as though I'm having a show and then all of a sudden these people come up out of the woodwork. Like, I start to meet people who are in wheelchairs. I start to meet people who have had a similar situation. It's more prevalent than we actually know.
Yeah, right? It is.
And so it's really good. Why I wanted to bring you onto the show was, one, because you're so positive, you're in a wheelchair, this thing happened to you, right? I had it that you were born that way.
Nah, I wasn't born.
Right, this thing happened to you. But you are not the kind of person that's going to sit around and, like, cry in your soup.
Oh, nah. My mother, he would have. No, who's going to let me do that? Like, there's nobody that's around that's really going to let me do. And that wasn't the type of person I am. Like,
right.
I can't stay in one spot stagnated just because of life. Like,
right.
What you going to do? You going to stay there or you going to get over whatever you got to get over? Life goes on.
So I want you to share with us your accolades, right? So you did a TED Talk.
Yeah, I did a TED Talk. I did an Ignite.
Tell us how you did the TED Talk.
All right, so this is how I did
it. I want you to tell us how you actually got to this
point. Let me tell you how I got here, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right, so like, to
you were
about
working at
a little, working at the for the government. And I had an epiphany at work one day, like, I need to be doing something, you know, outdoors helping people, because I felt as if I was too cool to just be behind a computer all my life. Like, I have an outgoing personality, you know, and a lot of people just gravitate towards me. So I said, you know, I needed to be doing something bigger and something for a cause. So I was like talking to my cousin, of course, mm-hmm. like, yo, we got to do something big. You know what? How does mayor sound? Well, we just throwing an idea around at this point. Like, we not thinking nothing of it. So then we do a photo shoot for my godfather's clothing line called Courtesy Of.
Oh, okay.
So we do the photo shoot for Courtesy Of. And I met my boys. Like, these became, like, one of my closer friends.
Instantly.
Yeah. It's Ben and Justin from MILF Dad.
Right, right.
This is when they just had an idea of the clothing line. It wasn't so much it was already, like, out and in production. They just started, like, you know, promoting it and marketing it. So they like, yo, look, come do a
MILF,
photo.
MILF Dad.
Yeah. For those of y'all that's tuned in, it's on my hat right here if you got video, however. But, yeah, it's MILF Dad. So they like, yeah, you could be, like, a brand ambassador or something. So I'm like, that sounds like a good idea. I am fashionable, so I'm all for it.
He's been in fashion shows. So he's been on the runway.
Yeah, we do a photo shoot, and the photo shoot got like good feedback. So, and it had a MILF dad wheelchair and everything. This was legit. Like, it was.
They came
all
ready.
Out. Yeah.
They came ready.
So, but we just connected. Like, we had similar goals. And so we just connected off of that. Around the same time, a little bit after, about a week or two after, we started saying, like, what we gonna do? Like, we gotta think of a new career plan. Like, we gotta be doing something where we helping people. We go do a fashion show with MILF Dad for Fashion Week Brooklyn. And this is how I meet Ricky.
Right.
And that's became a great friend of mine.
He was on the show at the very beginning.
He's like one of our mentors. So,
Ricky is real cool. I like Ricky. Ricky. Cool.
So I meet Ricky there, but we just chit-chat. But it's crazy how the world works. So like this world is crazy. And when I think about it and tell people how the world works, I think they think I be playing, but no. I'm like, nah, this is coming out in a book.
Right,
I'm
going to
do a book
ready.
Soon. But yeah, that's one thing about success. It's like when preparation meets opportunity. So I met Ricky, and Ricky forwarded me, gave my name to this lady called Connie Chi. Mm-hmm. I love Connie.
Connie's on the show next week.
Connie's the one that
Put the battery.
Like the remote. We had the remote. We just needed the battery. Something to get us to go.
Yeah.
That was Connie. Connie got us to go. Like we meet her at Starbucks. Anybody knows when you have a meeting at Starbucks, this is about to be a meeting that's gonna change your life.
Yeah.
That's how we look at Starbucks in the hood. You at Starbucks, this is gonna change
Starbucks
your life.
Starbucks in the hood. It will change your life.
Mind you, I have my bachelor's in finance and everything, but I was like, that doesn't matter. Like, if you're not helping people, it doesn't matter what accolades you have.
Right.
It means nothing. So, boom. And I was working out in the gym. So, this is how I was prepared already. So, I meet with Connie. Me and Garfield meet with Connie at Starbucks. And she's like, yo, what y'all do? Y'all like y'all jobs and stuff? So, we like, nah, Connie. This been bothering us for about the last year. Like she, you don't understand. That's like a guardian angel. Like God said, this right. You can need her.
You're talking to a coach.
Yeah, so
I understand.
I'm like, so she like, yo, what y'all like? Y'all could do something like impactful. So I'm like, yeah. Did I start playing with the Navigators yet?
No, not yet.
I don't even think the Navigators was yet. All right, so
what's
this is
Navigators?
Still that's the team I play for.
Oh, okay.
The Paralympic team,
okay.
Sports club.
Okay,
so. This is still, early. Look.
So he's a Paralympian.
So this is like, must be like September, October, right before the fashion show started, like the New York Fashion Week. So we meet with Connie. Connie's like, you should do something like a TED Talk. So I'm like, a TED Talk? What is that?
Right.
Garfield starts telling
TED
me.
Talk.
Yeah, he's like, yo, we got to go watch them, bro. They like inspiring individuals that come on the show and just talk about a variety of topics.
Right.
Topics. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, Connie, I'm going to do the TED Talk. She like, yeah, you got to apply to them and stuff like that. So me, I'm like, that's all you got to tell me. You got to just tell me, point me in a direction. I'll do the rest. You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
So she like, yeah, you got to start an organization. Get like a website. I swear, no lie, within 2 weeks from meeting Connie, we had the website up and running, business cards.
It was a lot done.
And it was like the birth of the Garrison Rep Project was like right then and there, right in that Starbucks. That's when the idea hit us. And we like, we're going to help, different individuals.
Right.
It's going to be inclusive. So it's not just going to be for disabled individuals. It's going to be for people suffering from depression, people that come from impoverished neighborhoods that feel there's no way out. Just a whole variety of different individuals that are just different.
Right.
And they need to be accepted and feel like they included
something.
In something. So that's why we started it.
So
and
tell
that was
us,
the mission.
Tell us about the TED Talk. And you can find his TED Talk.
Yeah. Garrison Red on YouTube. It'll pop right up. Go to the GarrisonRedProject.org. You'll see it there as well. So the TED Talk, boom. What happens with the TED Talk is I apply. They accepted me. It was like around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like.
So how many weeks is this?
Probably like a month and a half.
Okay.
Like just things started evolving.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I was going to get the TED Talk because I was just confident. Like when I just know.
You just knew.
I just know certain things. Like, this was something I'm going to get. Like, the topic was, like, someone overcoming adversity or triumphing through adversity or something of that nature.
Right.
So I'm like, perfect. Now, mind you, I never spoke on a stage of that magnitude before. I only spoke to, like, kids once at a school.
Right.
Nothing too crazy. But I was always...
How many people?
It probably was, like, 100 or more. Yeah. It was pretty big, but, you know, with the lights on you, everybody looking at you. But that, I wasn't worried about that because, like I said, I was prepared. I've been talking all my life. I could talk to a group of people. So it's like, that was nothing. But so now I go to the TED Talk, and I was prepared. I was really prepared for it because the title of the TED Talk was Life is Like Lemonade.
Right.
How life could throw you lemons. You put some sugar, some water, some ice.
Right.
And you got a
sweet.
And where
the ice.
Yeah, the people is the ice. That's the key. The people. Because each ice cube represents an opportunity that someone from the outside gave you.
Right.
To make your lemonade, you know, fulfilling. And to that taste where it's nice and refreshing. So that's what I pretty much looked at my life. Like, I was basically saying, they threw me the lemons, I found some sugar, put some water with it, now I just need the ice, the opportunity from different individuals. So another way of showcasing yourself is through social media.
Right.
It's the most affordable way.
Right.
At the end of the day, you don't have to pay for no ads, you don't have to pay for nothing, you just have to be yourself.
Right.
So I feel, everywhere I went in life, not to sound like cocky or anything, but being myself got me far.
Of course, because everybody else is taken.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like you said, everybody else is. But everybody liked me for being myself.
Yeah, like, of course.
They like, oh, you're happy, enjoying your life. Like, and everybody around is like miserable. It's a lot of miserable.
Why you think
people
I'm always with him?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not miserable with
him. I'm not miserable with him.
Right.
Like, and I wouldn't, like, I wouldn't let him get miserable.
Well, I don't think he'd let anyone.
I wouldn't let.
You wouldn't let anyone.
There's people that you just like, that's what you want. Misery loves company.
Yeah, you just leave him alone.
And misery loves company. Right. You don't want to be that company now.
No.
I know there's people that you like, I ain't going around her today because she's just going to change my mood.
Right.
And your mood is what you give off to the people in society. So you want to have a good mood at all times because people just you don't get energy. They like feel that.
Okay. So we've got one. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back and he'll tell us more of his stories.
Yeah, it gets better. It gets better, right?
Cool. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, Hi, welcome back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're speaking to Garrison Red of the Garrison Red Project. And he is just telling us what has happened in his life in the last, 11 months?
Yeah.
11
yeah,
months.
Exactly.
And it was from making a declaration and saying that his life, he was too cool to be sitting in an office and doing this work. He wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And he was just ready. And opportunity came. And like he said, he had the lemons.
Yeah.
He got himself some sugar. And we are the ice. So I guess I'm an ice cube.
Yeah. We didn't, and it really didn't come. We went out and took it. It was waiting for us. So we had to go get it.
Like, right.
Because it's not going to come to you.
Right.
It's definitely not going to come to you.
Putting a lot of work.
A lot of nights you got to, you know,
so talk
focus.
To me. So since making that decision, like about
right.
11 months
so,
ago,
yes.
What's happened?
We started the organization. Then the TED Talk that I was telling you about, how life is like lemonade.
Right.
Then we did the Ignite Talk. Then we
Ignite.
Okay. Ignite. Then around that time, I started the workout videos that a few of them went viral.
On the Instagram.
Yeah, you know, on Instagram and Facebook.
Right.
One on Instagram, one hit like 330,000 views.
Uh-huh.
I also did a skit with the influencer Fatboy SSE. He's a big Instagram influencer. Uh-huh. He's actually acting in Master P movie. Uh-huh. Shout out to Fatboy Gang. Those are my fellas over there.
Okay.
I did that, so a lot of people seen me on there, and that was very motivational for, like, individuals that's not so much...
Not as outgoing.
Yeah, that's, you know...
Not as confident.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of disabled individuals that, you know, they don't get out too often, so they don't know what type of resources they have.
Right.
But they have... Everybody has a cell phone and social media these days,
right.
So people...
So you've been doing a lot of research with regard to people with disabilities.
Yeah, I've been doing avid. Like,
so what have been your discoveries?
That the unemployment rate is, like, outrageous right now. Like, for the last 20 years, the unemployment rate for disabled individuals been above 70%.
Wow.
Yeah. So just think about it. Like, one out of every five people... declare themselves as being disabled,
right.
Which is about 20% of the population. And you could just do the math, with 20% of the population, whatever it is, it's an astronomical number of people
right.
That's unemployed with, you know, no way of making ends meet.
Right.
And then the poverty rate is twice the amount of an able-bodied individual. So it's like a double-edged sword right there. Like, how are you going to support your family?
How are you going to have a family?
Exactly. But a lot of individuals have families when they get injured or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Who's to say that somebody could stop them from living their life? That's a part of life to, you know, have a family and to support your family. So
when you spoke to me, you had told me that you wanted to inspire people because there are people calling you and getting in contact with you after seeing you on Instagram and social media and stuff like that. And you were telling me about people who said that they weren't dating.
Yeah, there's a lot of individuals that said they don't date for whatever reason.
Do you date?
Yeah, I date. Right now, I'm trying to stay away from all late because I'm focused right now. But
oh, the late ass, leave him alone.
He keeps me focused. He be like, G.
Yeah, we got to stay focused.
She's taking too much of your time, bro. You can't have, not right now.
Right, right. So you like the ladies.
Yeah, I love
I like
my ladies.
Too, but we
I
can
love
get back
them.
To the ladies when it's time. We'll know when it's.
I have a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. It's just
so
fun.
Let's just get real
life
here. So you have sex. You meet girls. You have sex and things like that. So you're not like it doesn't your disability. And please tell me what you call it. You don't call it a disability.
I call it able with limitations. But
so you call it able body with limitations.
And the reason why I say that is because you see some stairs. Basically, if you look at stairs, you'll say, "How I'm going to get up."
Which but I did. I wanted to know how
anybody else,
get up
you know, you could walk right up. I maybe can't walk up, but I could get to the next flight.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter that I can't walk up the stairs physically because I can still get up to the next flight in one way or another.
Right.
So it's just a limitation. That's it.
So basically, he could do everything that we can do, but you just do it slower, maybe.
Yeah. Or I mean, some things I do it faster. Some things.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it's a balance, but or differently. You're right about that. So it's all in one.
And so, what would you tell a person that was disabled either by recently or it's been a while since they've been how would you inspire them to get themselves up and out? What would you say to them?
Well, one thing I will say is life goes on,
right?
And if you look at your watch, the time will never stop ticking,
right?
So being at the time will never stop ticking. If time doesn't take a break, why should you take a break,
right?
So that's what I'll tell them, and you could just look at me. I'm like, life goes on. Like, it's something happens, you just got to get over it. Like, right. It's not the end of the world. And it goes back to the old cliche, what doesn't kill you make you stronger.
Right.
So you still alive. Like, you have your whole life ahead of you. Go do what you got to do. Right. Don't sit there and have pity for yourself.
So I had, a few months ago, I had a guest on. His name is Billy. And Billy lost his leg from the knee down or just above the knee down in a motorcycle accident. He's a thrill seeker. So he completely lost that leg. And he says that his body, when his brain still thinks that he has a whole leg. And so his brain, the heats his whole body. So he gets really hot. So it was like in a dead of winter and he was walking around in shorts. So does the heat affect your body in any particular way?
Not really. Not anything that is not abnormal, that I would call abnormal. The weather doesn't really affect me in any way. But some people it does. It just doesn't affect me.
Right.
So I wouldn't, you know, if someone said that, the heat, if I would believe them because of the fact that I have heard stories of people who can't adjust to the cold or can't adjust to the heat. So
now, like, what I did learn the other day was something about the vertebrates, like T2 and things like that.
Yeah, like, it start with the C. Usually, if you got injured in the C area, you considered a quadriplegic, where you have limited to no mobility of all four of your limbs.
And you saw that in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. When I was in the hospital, in the rehabilitation hospital, it was individuals that had injuries that high where if you're like a C1, for instance, you probably have a trach and you probably don't have any way of contracting, like, oxygen. Your lungs and stuff like that is affected.
Right.
So,
because you told me that you saw somebody brushing their teeth.
Yeah.
And that inspired you to
see. Yeah, I seen somebody that was unable to use their arms brushing their teeth. And we take that for granted.
Right.
I took that for granted being a para. I have limited or no mobility of two of my limbs. But as a para, I was like, oh, man, like, look how this individual right here is really brushing his teeth. And that looks like the hardest thing that could possibly be done. And they're doing it smiling, happy. So.
So you were inspired.
Yeah, like, it became more or less me like, all right, I know after and through experience as well, I've seen individuals, I always remembered individuals like that. And I'm like, I got to go back and like help them. Like, it'll be messed up for me to just see people getting discriminated against.
Right. But you've experienced.
Yeah. I experienced that on plenty of occasions.
I want to ask you. So you're a black man.
Yeah.
So do you get double whammy? Is it like you're a black man and you're a paraplegic?
Yeah, no. I would say yeah and no. Uh-huh. Maybe for like, if I go to apply for a job, it'd be like almost impossible.
Right. Because you applied for jobs and you didn't say.
Yeah, yeah. Millions of, I've applied for quite a few jobs and it was like turned down after turned down after turned down. So, but that's another reason why we started the Garrison Rep Project. Like, why are we going to go help build something when we could build something of our own?
Right.
And we could build it and then it'll be there forever. And we could pass it on to our kids. Whatever we want to do with it, it's ours.
Right.
And the way the government, the way to, not, I won't say government, the way the world is set up now, you got to have something of your own in order to become, and, you know, for your self-actualization, to get to where your hierarchy, you need something of your own.
Maslow.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so tell me to ask you a question. Tell me a question that you want me to ask you.
Oh,
I would say that. What's something that you want me to ask you?
I don't know. Let me think of something. What? That was on the spot right there.
Yeah.
Definitely was.
It's always on the spot question. There's something that you want, or there's something that you want to do, or something that you want to be exposed to.
Oh. Well, why do I want to be mayor?
Well, yeah. Why would you want to be the mayor of New York City?
Because if I become the mayor of New York City, I could impact the lives of so many individuals.
Right.
And you can only impact individuals from the top. You cannot, you voiceless at the bottom. There's millions.
That's where you start.
Yeah, but there's times I had riffraff with this person and that person. And now that I got a little bit of, I won't say power, but like people know who I am now.
Notoriety.
Yeah, it's like the conversation changes. Like, oh, come in.
Right.
It's not so much, who are you? No, now you got to come in. I need you to come in. Like, things like that, which is new. Like, that's new for me, and I know it's new for
and,
him.
And how are you managing that?
Real well.
Yeah, we love it. Like,
yeah. We take our time. We take environment, our time.
Yeah.
You know, meet new people.
Meet new people.
You know.
Yeah, like I said, it's never a problem for me to, like, meet people, like, and meet friends.
Right.
So this experience been wonderful. Like, I'm, we just running with it.
Yeah, we thankful for that.
So what else do you want? You just did a, I did an Apple commercial.
Yeah, I did that.
You met with the mayor last week.
Oh, yeah, that was a big week. Yeah, last week was a big week. We got the Apple commercial that finally we got, that we seen it being released. So it was released last week. Then we went to Gracie Mansion. I told everybody I was going to have a picture with the mayor. Before we left, I had that picture with the mayor. I made sure I got that shot with de Blasio.
Right.
And then I went to Team USA powerlifting camp.
Oh, you went
camp.
To the powerlifting camp.
Yeah, that
and
was on
how,
Saturday.
Tell them how.
Oh, that was good. I mean, it was how, so crazy because, like, through
one
that,
of the things that,
one of the things, like, through that epiphany that we had, another thing was we got to get in every lane. Like, if you want to be successful and you really want to have this impact, you got to go everywhere. Like, inclusion means everywhere.
Right. And so, for everyone.
Yeah. So I was in a gym and I met this dude named Jason. He's good friends with the commissioner of for people with disabilities, mm-hmm. for the mayor's office or whatever. So Jason, I met Jason in the gym and he's like, yo, I want you to play on my flag football team. So I'm like, flag football? Nah, bro. I'm not falling on the floor. Nah, I got a modeling career I'm trying to pursue. You know, like, he like, nah, come out. He like, I'm like, yeah, I used to play sports, so I do understand. So, boom, I came out or whatever.
I'm going to ask you to hold that.
I'm going to hold it. Yeah, let's hold this one. This
and we're
going to
be,
one.
And we'll be right back and you can hear more stories.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
talkingalternative.com.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we are speaking to Garrison Red. That's R-E-double-D.
Yep.
From
Get
the Garrison
right.
Red Project. So he's just going to continue on his story.
Yeah. So I met the guy Jason I was telling y'all about. We doing the flag football. From the flag football, I meet another individual who's the head of the Wheelchair Sports Federation. So he comes to me like, I heard you want to play like sports. So I'm like, I'll play sports, but I'm very competitive. I was a standout football player in high school. So I'm very competitive. So I'm like, if I'm going to play, I'm all in, but it can't be a team sport because I'm at the point in my life where I don't want to play a team sport. I want all the credit for all the hard work I put in. I don't want to share the credit with four other people on a basketball court. I put this work in. I want the credit. That's it.
Well, that's honest.
So he's like, yo, you could do track and field. You could do shot put, field, like throwing sports, and wheelchair racing. So I'm like, all right. He puts me on this team. This is how I'm like, I'm committed now. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna do this. So he's like, yeah, I'm gonna train you. We're gonna go around the world, Olympics everywhere. Watch this, bro. So I'm like, I bet. Now in the past I went out for other sports, but my mom wasn't into it at the time. I'm like, I just want to make money, go to school, make money, and that's that.
Right.
But then I'm like, I can help people. I'm thinking, yeah, this could be on a larger scale. All I got to do is train. I could train. So I do wheelchair racing. Now, wheelchair racing was on a whole nother level. But I looked on YouTube and saw how much people watched it. I said, this is a good sport right here. I'm like, I could get fame quickly.
Right.
But I'm strong. So the wheelchair racing coming along, and then I go to a meet. Where they have powerlifting. So coach like, how much you weigh? I'm like, I don't know. I think I weigh like 140 pounds or something. That's another thing. The medical facilities never have scales
right. For
individuals in a wheelchair. And it's just like mind boggling how you go to the doctor. They ask you
yeah,
how much you weigh.
Yeah.
So they need to change that. There need to be some type of policy
when
enacted.
When was the last time you weighed yourself?
At the meets, I got to weigh myself.
Right.
So I'm
okay.
Telling coach I weigh 140. I get on a scale. He like, you weigh like 120.5. So I'm like, 120.5? And then I was like, perfect. That means that everybody's weaker. I thought I was 140. I'm not that big. Good. Perfect. So I lift. The first two times I fouled because I didn't understand the cadence system.
Right.
So then he's telling me like, yo, you got this. He's in my ear like, you got this. Mind you, he's like one of the spotters also. So he's like, yo, just focus on listening to them. So I do the last lift, and that's like 250 pounds.
Right.
And I did it. And this is an open weight class, so they got people that weigh like 240, 250. So I outlifted everybody.
Right.
So then I didn't know what was going to become of that. I go home the next day. So a few days go by, and I get it. Facebook message from the performance manager for Team USA.
Right.
Like, you need to come vie for a spot on Team USA powerlifting team.
Right. So this is Team USA powerlifting team,
yeah,
where you are becoming a member of the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I
you gotta be clear so they understand.
Yeah, exactly.
This is nothing.
Thank you.
Too shabby.
That's why you're a good host right there. You know, you helping me out, the assist right there. So I do that, and it's like, I already manifested all of these things I was going to do. That's why it's not really new. When people ask, like, how y'all feel about all the accomplishments so quickly, we, like, this is how we planned it.
Right.
Like, this is exactly what we said we was going to do.
Right.
and it's just the beginning. Like, I don't even, I look back and still feel the same way I felt last year this time. Like, I got to figure out how we're going to get to the next level.
Right.
Yeah. It's just that now we have a plan and a path that we're going down. So we got to see where this leads. And we're not quitters, so it got to... Wherever it ends,
it's
trust me.
End somewhere right. positive.
Yeah, well, and it like might it. Not end in this lifetime for us.
Right, right.
That's the goal. Beginning. Yeah, that's the goal. This never to end. Like, right. we're just going to keep going, and then...
So what do you need for your foundation?
What I need... we
How
need,
are you funding it?
Do we need people funders? To donate. We get people to donate. Uh-huh. Donate. Donations are key right now, and we're working on, you know, writing grants to different organizations mm-hmm. in order to get funding through that way. That way we could help provide individuals that are disabled with proper assistive equipment because right. there's individuals in this world that don't have the tools they need to get outside.
Right.
And it don't... We look at it as just a cane.
What's the cost of an average wheelchair?
Ooh, an average wheelchair, a heavy aluminum wet wheelchair.
That's an old school. That you're talking
that's
an
old school. This is the old one that you get at the hospital. That's like $800 on average, brand new. Being that that's $800, that is not adequate for someone that relies on a wheelchair on a daily basis. It don't have rubber wheels. It doesn't have a place for a cushion. So that's not really, it's not ideal for someone to use every day. So if somebody has that wheelchair, more than likely they confined to their house.
Right.
And that's terrible. And also there's people with improper prosthetics.
Right.
Like amputees that need prosthetic limbs. Kids. There's kids. If you don't have, you know, proper medical coverage and proper insurance, then who's going to pay for a prosthetic leg that might run you $12,000 might run you $15,000.
So what would you, if you were to give away wheelchairs, like, just say, what would it cost for an average wheelchair?
The average wheelchair that I would give away that someone can use if they rely on it daily.
Yes.
That could be about $2,000.
$2,000.
I mean, I sit on a titanium wheelchair. It's a Tie Light. It's one of the better brands, but there is other brands that are good that will be suitable for any individual. I mean, the metal is different. It'll be aluminum, but it'll be similar shape
right.
where they can, it be compact enough where they could get around and maneuver.
Right.
Because maneuverability is a big thing as well.
Because your wheelchair is 6 pounds, you said?
No, my wheelchair is more. Well, fully assembled is 30 pounds, but the frame probably only weigh about 15 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
then is it the lighter the better?
The lighter is the better because it's a lot easier for you to maneuver.
Right.
And like I drive, so being that I drive, I have to disassemble the wheelchair and put it over, basically lift it over my body.
Right.
So you can't have a heavy wheelchair to do something like that.
Right. But you can lift it over your body.
Yeah,
you
I
lift.
Could. But then, and then there's another thing. Like I probably lift more than that. We downplaying it. Like I'm like close to 250.
So that means you can actually lift me.
I can lift a lot of things. You know. But yeah. Back to that. Yeah. So a wheelchair. Yeah, about $1,500 for aluminum one, and. See, we take for granted like how we maneuver. Or if it's a quadriplegic individual, he definitely needs like a motorized chair. Right. Motorized chairs start at like $20,000 for a good one, brand new.
Right.
These insurance companies make a killing. A killing.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, a killing.
In my neighborhood, there's a lady and she has a disability, but her disability is something that developed over years. What's happening is literally her body has turned into stone.
Oh, wow.
Right? So, but she's up and she's out. She rides the subway. She rides the bus. She's
I like
doing
that.
Her
I
thing.
Like that.
I mean, like that. She has a little motorized thing. She just pushes it forward and backwards. She can't move her neck. I mean, she's solid. She's
exactly.
stuck. Right?
So imagine living like that every day.
She's out every day.
And she's out every day.
She goes to all events, all the free events. You see her at the free events and things like that. Right, but
I
she's
like that.
Actively
See,
engaged.
Now, individuals like that is what motivate me to keep
to
going.
That.
Right.
Because she's knows that the odds aren't good for her.
The odds are not good for her.
But she's still active. She's still outside. And right. she's still living her life. See, I don't have, like, sympathy for someone that has everything. The world has given them everything. And They just want to stay in the house and feel sorry for themselves and complain.
So we got 3 minutes to completion.
Yeah.
So is there anything or anyone that you'd like it to shout out to? Would you like to give your website, address, and donations?
Yeah, I would like to give you my website. It's called thegarrisonredproject.org. You don't even have to donate. You could just subscribe because strength is in numbers.
Right.
So as long as you subscribe and become a member, I'm cool with that. Also, you can follow us on Instagram. It's the Garrison Red Project. I also have another Instagram as well.
That's Big Money G
with two
Big
Y's.
Big Money G.
Yeah, because I was into finance, so got no little money. It's all about the big money. So that was the finance part of me. What else? Shout out to my boys at MILF Dad. Shout out to Connie G.
Connie.
Shout out to Fashion Week Brooklyn and Ricky. And who else? Shout out to all the supporters out there. I love all of y'all.
Shout out to everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, if you donate, it's going to a good cause. We're going to help people that need assistive devices get the adequate devices that they need so that way they can live their life.
Okay. So I just want to say thank you very much.
And Garrison. Thank you, Noreen.
Like, really, thank you for reaching out and like fulfilling on one of my dreams, which was to have you on the show. And because I said it and I saw it, and then you reached out, and I was like, let's do it. And I want to say thank you to Ricky and Connie and all those people, because without them, I wouldn't have met you.
That's a fact. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's absolutely. the circle just revolves.
Yeah, that's why every time they need a hand with something, I'm there for them. They could call me anytime. And nobody else could call me like that. But
well, I want to call you like
that. You could call me, Noreen. You are part of this, too.
All right. So that was the show with Garrison Red, and you can reach him on Instagram, and you can reach him on
Facebook. Garrison Red.
He is everywhere, and I'm sure you're going to be up to some really big things. And I would love to vote for you to become mayor of this city.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I'm sure other people would too. You'll have an army of people behind you.
If it's a popularity contest, then I feel sorry for the opponent.
Right. So until next week, this is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way.
All right, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.